Welcome to Under the Tooth, the podcast which aims to bring dentistry right to your ear, from general dentistry, specialty training, and everything in between. My name's Ilyas.
And my name's Asha.
And my name's Sari.
And today we've got lovely Dr. V with us.
Hey guys.
So Dr. V is also known as V's Fitness Food on Insta, so give her a little follow. And she's also known as The Dr. V. She is a general dental practice practitioner, and she works in two different practices in London. And we're so excited to have her with us today because she's going to share her story and all into the fitness world of dentistry. Hello.
Hi.
So first thing we want to talk to you about is we know that dentists have lots of different strings to their bows now, and we know that you've definitely got one. And I think that you are a fitness dentist, is that correct?
Well, I try to be.
So tell us about your typical working week.
So I go to the gym every day before work. So I'm always up at like 5:30, 6:30,
oh
go
my
to the
God.
Gym.
Every day?
Wow,
every
I think
day.
I'm just going to leave wow. now.
Every day. I'm like fully That's addicted dedication. To the endorphins. But honestly, I feel like Superwoman when I leave the gym and I walk into work and then I'm just like, I can take on anything when I leave for work. And then most evenings I will either have like an event or do some blogging or have clients or see friends. I do have a social life as well, I promise. But yeah, I tend to sort of keep very, very busy.
So do you go to the gym before work, but do you also go
yes,
after?
No, I would die.
And when you say clients, do you do personal training as well in the evening?
No, like facial aesthetics.
Okay.
People that want advice in nutrition and things like that.
Nice.
Cool. So you've got a bit of a fitness journey and you've got some qualifications, is that
mm-hmm.
correct? So
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that. So what is it that you have done in terms of qualification wise to be so involved within fitness?
So when I was studying dentistry, so I think it was second year, I decided to do a sports nutrition diploma and a clinical nutrition diploma.
Okay.
And then I started doing personal training as well. I've only done a level 2, so I'm gonna finish it. Gonna do level 3, gonna do level 4 as well. But I did that sort of, I found dentistry quite straightforward because I did biomedicine beforehand, so I was
okay.
Do a little bit of something on the side.
Yeah.
And obviously I was really, really into it, like outside the gym and stuff. And I do lots of reading around it, like by myself, and speak to personal trainers and go to like conferences and stuff like that, so sort of done a lot of my own reading and research around it.
What about before actually starting your dental degree? Did you do any fitness stuff before that, or was it just in your intercalated year?
No, I didn't have an intercalated year.
Oh, as in it was just, sorry.
BSc, you
the
did
BSc
separately?
Separately.
I did 3 years of biomedicine,
yeah.
And I did 5 years of dentistry, but as well as doing dentistry, I did the diplomas.
Oh, so you did
okay.
as well
as
studying,
well.
So you didn't take years
oh,
year
no,
out
no,
to
no.
do
That's
it?
What I mean, like I found
oh,
it quite straightforward because
so
I've done biomedicine.
Oh,
I'm a
okay,
massive
okay.
nerd.
No,
like,
that's amazing.
That's
but that's so like ambitious, and you obviously managed your time really well
Thank
for you,
you
to be able to do dentistry. And then, so was it night classes
yeah,
or...?
So a lot of it was home learning, so you
okay.
can do a lot of diplomas online, and you go in sort of like once every few months, or you have like Skype conversations with your tutors and things like that. Like, it was very good.
Mm.
Yeah, that's amazing.
All sort of managed like that, but yeah,
complete
did it sort
time
of
management.
I just have good time management. I think I just don't faff and I don't watch TV.
Okay.
So I am a weirdo.
Oh, I'm the same as well.
Everyone's like, are you watching Love Island? I'm like,
no.
I'm reading journals.
But that's so good, and that's like a really good bit of like advice for other people as well, is that you don't, I think a lot of people
get sucked into it, don't they?
Yeah, and in dental school, a lot of people think they can't do anything else. They
yeah,
have to just
no,
focus
totally
on it
not.
Or have to take a year out to
yeah,
do
yeah,
something.
Yeah.
But it just
it's
proves...
just time management, honestly, that's all it is. And because I mean you're in uni what 9 till 5, what are you going to do before
after
and after
that?
Yeah,
yep. Definitely. And where did you study?
Cardiff.
Both degrees.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we were just talking there that you're now released into the big bad world of London.
I love London so much. I think it's the best city in the world. I can never want to leave.
So V's never going to leave, guys, so you'll be able to catch her in London.
Just roaming the streets, walking around London.
The seer. That's what happened tonight. In terms of you working in practice, you work between two different practices.
Yeah.
So are you a general dental practitioner?
Yes.
Private, NHS, mixed?
So one of my practices is fully private, so oh. Parsons Green, and then the other one is mainly private as well. We have a very small NHS contract for like kids and exam patients and stuff, but it's mainly private.
Perfect. And you do a lot of facial aesthetics, is that correct? Yeah. And how did you get into that?
I think because when you start looking at a patient like a little bit more holistically, so obviously patients come in and they want to improve certain things about their smile, but there's a lot you can offer them around it. So for me as well, learning how to do like masseter Botox and gummy smile Botox and things like that, like it's actually medicinal. And I think you can offer so much more than just, oh, let me straighten your teeth or let me do a filling for you. I think it just makes you an all-rounded practitioner.
Yeah, definitely.
When you can improve certain things. And you can give a better sort of advice and diagnosis when you can offer a lot more than just what we can fix.
Yeah, definitely. And it's like a whole range of different treatments you can offer as well. Amazing. So two of us that are hosting tonight don't work in general dental world, you do. So we kind of want to know like what kept you in it, because obviously some people tend to leave dentistry or leave working in a practice and go through other avenues. And what keeps you, what like makes you just want to be in dentistry?
What motivates you to stay in practice?
My patients. I think that we are so, so lucky. The people that we get to meet and speak to, we come across people from all walks of life, all backgrounds, different cultures, different religions, people that have done so much. And I think it's so incredible that we get to meet all of these people, create bonds with them. These people, they come in, they're terrified of the dentist, they start trusting you, and they come back. And I think there's nothing more rewarding than someone saying, thank you for putting me out of pain, or, oh my God, I was so scared of the dentist, but thank you so much. Like, you know when you get like a thank you card?
Yeah.
Nothing beats that. Literally nothing, a hug from a patient melts my heart, honestly.
That's so cute.
I love it. I didn't think I'd love it so much, but the bonds you can build with people, it's just been incredible. It's literally been incredible. And you get to see them every 3 months, every 6 months, and I never tell people more than 6 months. I'm like, no, come back every 6 months.
Do you think the same?
Yeah, definitely.
I love it. I just think it's incredible.
It's unique.
It is, isn't it?
Especially, I think, when you get somebody who initially is really, really anxious.
100%.
And the way that you work with them to try and alleviate them of their anxiety. And kind of, a lot of people have prejudice about what dentists are like.
Exactly,
and what going to the dentist is actually like. But I think it's improved massively over the years.
So much, yeah.
And there's a lot more kind of, that, like you say, we can offer people. But people don't realise that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like the big bad school dentist that everybody remembers.
Yeah. When you walk in and you see this like 5'3" little female. Like, and then people are like, are you going to be the one pulling out my teeth? And I'm like, honey, watch me.
Yeah.
Wait, you just need to tell them you went to the gym.
Yeah, yeah, don't worry. Like, I deadlifted this morning. It's fine.
My second workout of the
day. Yeah, yeah. So no, I think it's amazing. I think we're so lucky to be in a position where we can, you know, improve people's lives.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
You know, people say thank you, it's like it means so much.
I think
it's genuine. It's
yeah
genuine.
It really is.
And do you feel going to the gym, like you do a lot of kind of stress release by doing that in the morning, or is it not something that you've really encountered?
Do you feel
I
your
think
job
because
is stressful at all?
I think because I go, I'm not stressed, because obviously I walk to work as well, so as I'm walking to work I just feel like high off endorphins.
Oh my goodness, how far away is your work from?
One's half an hour, one's like 45 minutes. So
walking?
It's not far at all.
So you must leave pretty early, right?
Yeah,
like, it's still a considerable walk every morning.
She is super. You're saying you're walking
time?
In like superwoman,
you know
manning you are.
No,
you
I'm
know
not.
Start
too
at nine.
Silly. No, 8-ish in Wimbledon, and then it varies in Parsons Green because obviously we like to cater to our private patients.
Okay. Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, like, can you make it in at 6:30? I'll be there.
Oh my goodness.
No, it's not far at all. Whacking a podcast, like whacking some music, it's fine. You're there.
I'm not too sure my commute is a bit 2-hour drive, but maybe I'll try it one
maybe
day.
Yeah, that's a little bit far.
Parking half an hour away and then walking.
And then walking. You would probably do that, right? Like that, the last half an hour leg, I'm going to have a little walk. But when I seen you, you presented at the Empowering Women in Dentistry mm-hmm. conference, and your presentation really, you were really interesting.
Thank
and
you.
One thing was the fact that you published a book.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit more about that, because that's really good.
So I did that in my last year in uni, I think, again, just because I didn't have enough to do.
in your dental degree.
Uh-huh. and because obviously I was doing recipes and things for so long, but I just wanted to make something that sort of educated people on the basics of nutrition, because I think people just don't really appreciate the basics of nutrition. So like, if you chat to someone, they don't really know that, like, for example, you've got 9 calories per gram in fat and 4 calories per gram in carbohydrates and proteins. Like, the majority of people just don't know that, and it's, I think it's very basic information. So I just wanted to create something that was sort of quite accessible and just sort of explain the basics, and also why we need all the macronutrients, micronutrients, and like vitamins and minerals and things like that. So I did that alongside some recipes. I just thought I could tie in why, you know, you can make healthy swaps here and there.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And where can people find this book?
On my website, just okay. ebook, yeah.
And what is your website?
It's really easy, beesfitnessfood.com.
Oh, that's neat. That'll be saved as a favourite, I think. I really need to have a little look at that one.
And do you have any other fitness or health tips you've got for dentists?
For dentists? So I think that you shouldn't underestimate the value of like movement for your own benefit. And also, you need to be selfish in order to be selfless. Because if you're not putting yourself first, looking after your mental health, looking after your physical health, just looking after yourself overall, how are you expecting to be a good practitioner? Like, if you don't feel well mentally because of, you know, the stress you're taking on, or like you're not eating properly, everyone's so like stressed and taking on too much, and like they won't even have like proper food at lunchtime and things like that.
Yeah.
Like, how do you expect to be able to think properly and treat patients to the best of your ability if you're not prioritizing your own health?
Yeah,
so I think
that's like a
massive
one, because people, I mean, for me myself as well, like there's times where I'm like, my god, I'm gonna burn out,
mm-hmm.
not having enough time to like cook this
prepare
it. But really, like, it should be like taking a step back, and 100%. I think that's really good advice, because if you're not giving yourself the best in terms of your mental state, then are you giving your patients the best?
Exactly.
You really need to put yourself there.
100%.
How do you kind of like, I mean, have you ever suffered from burnout or thought about burnout at all, or you just?
I have weeks. I do have weeks where I'm thinking like, wow, that was a
rough
hard
week.
That was a rough week, but I'll just take it easy on the weekend, make sure that, you know, I have like a really early night, or just try and prioritize.
So you've taught yourself to recognize the signs.
Oh yeah,
100%. That's really good.
It's when I think it's really important to be able to recognize when you're not working to the best of your ability. Like, you start making silly mistakes, or you feel like you're a little bit shorter with people, and you know that you're not feeling 100%, and it's really important to recognize that and just say, actually, I'm going to take a step back.
Yeah, definitely. And how do you find time to like cook properly and make? Do you just make sure you have the time? Do you set like a time in your day of, this is when I'm going to cook all my meals for the week?
Yeah,
or?
So I try and do it like Sundays. So like, have like a half hour. It's
half an hour.
No, honestly, it's amazing.
Wow.
What you can
half
do
an hour
if you
on
don't.
Sunday, or do you mean half an hour every day?
No, like if I'm batch cooking, half an hour on Sunday. Honestly, it's enough. It's amazing what you can do when you don't fast.
I think I'm going to come
can
and observe.
I think you need to show us.
I think, have you released any videos of you doing this? Because I think that would be amazing on your website.
You have
do you have
not,
a YouTube channel?
Not faff. No, I don't think I'd have time for a YouTube channel. I did toy with the idea, but honestly, I think I would have to not sleep if I took on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I don't think I could do that.
So you spend half an hour every
Sunday?
Yeah,
honestly, you grab a massive saucepan, you throw in like lots of vegetables, lots of spices, seasonings, some tomato paste, and you just let it sizzle for half an hour, bam, whack it into some Tupperware, keep some in the fridge, some in the freezer, and, you know, Bob's your uncle, there's your dinner sorted for the week.
She just makes it sound so easy.
I
feel
is.
So ashamed of myself.
Don't be silly.
I think sometimes that there people make excuses, right, as in, I don't have time. Actually, you do have time.
Everyone has time.
You're
honestly,
just
everyone has
putting
time.
Too much time in something else, you're procrastinating in something.
I think what it is how much value you have in time. If you value your time, and you know, like, we could die tomorrow. Like, time is so precious, and once time's gone, we're never going to get it back. If you change your attitude towards time, you will value your time so much more, and you just won't faff because you're like, I've just wasted an hour. I'm never going to get that hour back.
Exactly.
And that's just how I feel like I view time.
Yeah.
Mm.
And you,
I'm just like, it's so precious.
So you're doing all this sort of stuff, but you do fitness modeling as well, right?
When you can.
See, like, you just fitting it in your time, man. You're just like slotting that in. I think, never mind about fitness, I think you should be, you know, putting a website on time management.
Time management.
Put a little course together.
Yeah.
So have you done any like sports competitions or anything like that? What's your like favourite thing in terms of sports wise? Gym?
I love
fitness?
Yeah, I love fitness. I love powerlifting.
You're tiny as well.
I'm stronger than I look, I promise.
We should have recorded a video. We should have brought some weights in.
I could lift you.
Are you sure?
100%, honey. 100%.
And you were on, was it Made in Cardiff?
Oh, yeah.
So is that like a like Made in like Chelsea type thing?
It's basically just like the Cardiff TV that...
Oh, wow.
So yeah, just basically like BBC.
So you're like a proper celeb.
What were you on there for?
I was like making recipes and talking about fitness and nutrition and stuff. Like, they had me on around the new year quite a few times, so that was really fun.
Oh, nice.
Did you
enjoy it?
Yeah, it was really good.
Did you meet any exciting people? Or were you the exciting person that people were meeting?
Just like local celebrities. And
oh, that's so exciting.
Like, yeah, it was cool.
That's so cute. And do you miss Cardiff?
No.
So she's a London girl now, right?
I literally get that question all the time, and I'm like, what is there to miss? Like, London's incredible.
Oh, that's so cute. I think so too, though, so I agree with that. Did you find any challenges in terms of, like, university, jobs? Have you ever, like, experienced anything that you think that, you know, if you mentioned it, somebody else might be in the same position, and you have any advice?
Just to enjoy it as much as you can. And you actually have so much time in uni to do so much. Like, some days you might have a half a day, some days you finish at 3, some days you come in and your patient hasn't come. Just utilize that time.
I completely agree with that.
Just don't go home and sit around and watch Netflix. Like, what is that going to add value to your life?
Yeah, I agree with that, but I think I probably experienced something different, because I remember our course was literally 8 till 3 every day, 6 days a week. You literally had no time for anything else.
So I think obviously
here it's different, or it depends on which uni you go to.
You were Liverpool.
Yeah, I think it's just like what you said. You have days that are quite busy, and then you have weeks that you have lots of clinics, and other weeks where you have half days and things like
all
that.
All your
which,
patients don't
which
come.
Which you, yeah, just
yeah, I think that's one of the biggest things. I remember, like, for us, like, if I could go back, I would definitely like do more. I mean, I worked part time as like a supervisor and stuff, so I did utilise my time,
exactly,
but more in a retail
really
sense. Did it really bit? Okay, yeah, maybe communication and stuff, but
yeah,
I didn't really
skills
do anything else. And
though,
if I could,
they?
Yeah, but if I could go back, I think, like you said, I mean, I think I would use my time a wee bit better.
Yeah.
I think you don't realise that till you've left dental school, and then you realise, oh God, I could do this or that.
It's
this.
When you lose the time.
Yeah,
you
you've lost the time by that time, but you did
by
it.
Well, that
time
is too late.
Yeah. You're like, so then you just do 10 things at the one time
and
instead of 5.
And also utilising help in uni as much as possible, because when you leave into the real world and you're like, oh my God, I'm by myself.
Yeah, completely as well.
Like, and major imposter syndrome.
Who am I? Can I do this?
Yeah. Do people know that I don't know what I'm doing?
Did you, I seen that you were, what was it in terms of the DFT liaison representative or something?
Oh,
what
so obviously you have schemes.
Yeah.
And I was on the Central London scheme, so I was the liaison for the Central London scheme.
So people came and spoke to you about their
problems? Yeah, I got to
go to
loads of meetings with the deans and stuff like that.
Oh,
and,
exciting.
Like, and stuff like that, so that was good.
And do you recommend, like, foundation dentists to get involved in something like
100%,
that?
100%, because it gives you a voice, and I think that's really important. If you're not happy about something, it gives you a voice and an opportunity to, like, you know, raise your voice and speak about issues that aren't going to be resolved unless you bring them up. So,
completely.
And did you do
that.
Your DFT in London as well?
Yeah, Central London.
Oh, okay. So
same
scheme.
Practices,
that
or
was, my
was it a different practice?
I was in Notting Hill.
Okay.
Different practice, yeah. I would have stayed, but there was no room for me.
Oh.
But now you've got to. How did you. So, for like, in terms of people that are looking for jobs,
mm-hmm.
obviously a lot of people would actually probably really love to work in London, but how did you kind of scope out the jobs? How did you have the confidence to like be like, okay, I'm going to work in this practice, even though.
You just. You're not ready for anything in life, I think, and it's not unless you just put yourself in a position where you're not ready, you're never going to grow. if you're always comfortable and you're always working at a level where you think, this is comfortable, I'm fine, you're not learning and you're not going to develop as a person, I think. So I just was like, if I don't push myself and just apply to all these practices, which I'm probably not really qualified for, I'm never going to grow and push myself to do the courses to make me qualified or to sort of make me in a position where like I do all this extra learning, extra reading, so that I feel like I deserve this position, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So
did you find that, go for it.
Did
you find that transition from working in an NHS practice to working in a purely private or majority private practice difficult?
I was quite lucky because in Notting Hill I did a lot of private work anyway, so in that sense I didn't find it too difficult. I think you just have to believe in yourself, believe what you're selling, believe that you're going to be a good practitioner and just work to the best of your ability. And it's people at the end of the day, as long as you've been honest and transparent with what you can provide, you can't really make a mistake if you just work within your ability.
I definitely agree with that.
And you're never going to grow unless you're a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, completely. True. How would you like advise people to scope out a practice? So did you go and like meet them? Did you do any like observing? Did you just word of mouth?
So I'm quite lucky in the sense that I made quite a lot of contacts in London. So I was able to, if I saw a job vacancy, ask if someone had heard about that practice. The good thing about the dental world is that everyone knows everyone.
Yeah.
So if you see a job vacancy, just ask people about the practice, ask someone senior than you, ask, you know, your ES, your TPD, whatever. I guarantee you someone will have come across that practice or the principal. I think that's the best way if you want to make sure it's a good practice.
Definitely.
And also, like, go down there, have a look around, talk to the staff. Like, you might love the place, you might have a really good vibe, or you might not like it at all.
Yeah, I think it's a feeling.
100%. Yeah, like,
once
do you get on with
until
the
you go there,
or, yeah,
we'll see how it
exactly. And what's perfect for someone might not be perfect for you. So it's just about giving it time and just don't jump for the first thing that comes along as well.
And you've got like so many things that you can like offer as well. So do you do like nutrition within the practice as well, or is that separate?
So I do it within the practice if patients want it. Yeah,
cool.
Especially now in Parsons Green, because it's more of a holistic sort of and service that we're trying to provide for patients. Because I think it makes you just such a better practitioner to be able to provide a patient with like holistic care. You know how we were talking about the nutrition and stuff?
Yes.
Like, I just think it's, if you can inspire someone to look after themselves holistically, they'll look after their oral health as a byproduct of that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And
just obviously, like, diet advice is something that you do give to people,
mm-hmm.
but you're not trained properly at uni.
Yeah.
I mean, you're told, like, frequency of sugar or this
exactly,
and that. But actually, do you think that there should be more in-depth training in nutrition?
100%. I think we do such a big module about medicine. We've learned so much about we have to know why patients coming in if they're on, you know, aspirin, warfarin,
yeah.
whatever. We do so much of that. Well, how can we give advice on, you know, don't take NOACs, don't take, you know, we give advice on,
exactly,
on how to take NOACs, yet we can't give a diabetic proper advice on how to take sugar or how to reduce sugar.
Definitely.
And I think that is so much more important.
Yeah.
You could just
ring
the GP
and
or look at the BNF on NOACs and stuff, but you know, tailoring a diet advice and things to patients that can actually help their quality of life. I think it's so important.
And we're talking about like diet diaries and all that sort of stuff at uni, but they don't teach you.
No, exactly.
You
don't always fully understand
exactly,
why you're doing it for people either. People just pick out
the bad things. Okay,
yeah,
that
like,
looks
oh.
a bit sweet, or this looks that.
Yeah.
But really, do you think that if we weren't taught at uni, then it'd be good for like multidisciplinary kind of approach to patient care if people didn't have qualifications like you? A nutritionist coming into practice, do you think that's like a future?
No,
or
100%, or for there to be courses that are run
for
by that can, you know, advise them and give them proper training to be able to like advise patients.
And do you think that's future for you?
I would love it to be.
Ding!
It's on the cards.
Oh, good.
It's
that's so exciting.
Already.
Oh, you heard it here first, guys. That's amazing. And I think that, I'll probably sign up to that. Maybe not even for my patient's sake, probably for my sake. So I can cook something. Can I ask you what your favourite food is? I just really want to know this question.
I love food so much. I'm such a foodie. I think I love fusion food. So I love like Peruvian. I love Pan-Asian food, I love Japanese food, but I love fusion food. So, like, when you go to restaurants and everything's, like, fusion, like, Asian, yeah, I just love food.
Oh.
I'm such a massive foodie.
And do you eat quite a lot?
Yeah, guilty.
You do? So it's the gem then, right?
How healthy is that?
Hey, it's fine. Japanese food and Peruvian food, it's all healthy, right?
Do you sit there and count calories?
No, absolutely not. Life's too short to count calories.
Look at this girl, man. Superwoman. Do you have any... So we know about all your kind of like working things. You said you socialise with your friends, which is great to know you have a life.
I do, I promise.
What other, like, apart from exercise, fitness, nutrition, what's any other hobbies that you do? Or does that take up your actual time?
Do you have any time?
I mean, do you even have any time?
To do anything?
Yeah.
I love reading as well.
You love what, sorry?
Reading.
Oh, reading, yeah. Type of books, like psychology type ones or...
Yeah, psychology, understanding human behaviour, understanding like spiritualism, stuff like that. Just, yeah, everything. I love learning about other cultures. So I think it makes us a lot better as practitioners as well.
Definitely.
It's
definitely
far less ignorant when someone comes in and you can, and you know, this is going to sound so gross, but like I had a patient the other day who kept spitting after her extraction.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I went away and read that actually keeping blood in their mouth is seen as a bad thing.
Yeah.
And she needed to spit, and lo and behold, she got a dry socket. So I needed to sit down and explain to her that she had to keep the blood there and things like that. So I think it just makes you far less ignorant as a practitioner and as a person to learn about other people's beliefs and cultures and stuff like that. So I love doing that.
I think that your
amazing
top tip is not watching TV. Because I
completely... Top tip is just time management.
Yeah. I love travelling.
That's good. And you were just back. You went away.
Singapore, yes. Oh my God, amazing.
Was that amazing? So you take time out for yourself then, which is really good as well. It shows you can still do all these things, but actually enjoy yourself as well. Because you're so happy and just like...
I'm so happy. I'm
you know,
the
you think
person
that, yeah, you are. And that's great. And that's the way it needs to be. And your patients will love you. We have a really important question though to ask.
So we usually ask a fun question.
Right.
And our fun question is manual or electric.
I think he's gonna choose manual.
Why?
Lots of people.
We need the reason why.
Really? We need an in-depth reason into why.
Because electric's great. You could even leave it there whilst doing other things. Like, how's that for time management?
No,
I just think it just feels amazing after you've had a clean with an electric toothbrush.
So electric,
but you
all
said
the
manual.
Way. Huh?
Oh, she said who's
no,
going to choose,
manual?
Choose manual?
It's me that chooses manual.
Me too.
Why?
Well, morning and evening, we had this discussion.
Before. Oh my goodness, I just like love
like
a manual. I like having control.
Oh.
I think electric toothbrush is not.
Actually, a bit of a control freak.
Okay.
Not just in brushing her teeth.
Sorry, this toothbrush has too much control. I cannot use it.
I just think the electric toothbrush has a bit of a mind of its own. I'm like, are you really cleaning that bit? I want you to clean. I can't
really feel. Are you really oscillating?
It's buzzing around and like, whereas you know, a manual's in my hand, I can do what I want with it. So when the electric came out, that was it. You were converted straight away.
Sold.
Do you remember the first time you used an electric toothbrush? Was it like, oh my god,
I was very
young. This is amazing.
Yeah, I was very, very young. I was like, wow.
Is it not
amazing.
A bit annoying though having to, do you still have to charge the electric ones?
You just leave it on charge.
Oh,
yeah.
It's fine.
Can't be bothered with that faff.
Maybe you should get, we should get you one for
I
your birthday.
I think I'm pretty old school. My birthday's just been and I didn't get one, so you can do a belated one.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, we've absolutely loved speaking to
you.
It's been so much fun. Thank you.
It has been so fun. It's really interesting to get to know you as well and understand like all the things you do. And I'll definitely be looking at this book. Maybe next time you see me, I'll be like, yep, fitness girl. I can barely get
Ashley
to the gym.
Ashley will be cooking on Sundays.
Yeah. I'll be cooking for the whole team. I'll be like, yes. But yeah, if you start a YouTube channel, I'll be first subscribing onto that. I'll be like, oh my God, how does she do it? She sped it up. But yeah, thank you so much. I'm sure
thank
everyone's gonna really
me.
Enjoy listening
yeah, thank
to
you for coming
you.
On.
And guys, check out her Instagram page and website. We'll put it on Instagram as well, so you guys can have it easily accessible. But thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.